Hi, I'm Rob Pritchard and I'm the sports editor at Manx Radio. One of the Isle of Man's major mass participation events is upon us once again, with the 2025 Parish Walk taking place this coming weekend on the 21st and 22nd of June. The annual occasion sees hundreds of people from all walks of life take on all or part of a gruelling yet visually stunning 85-mile route around the island. Along with being a special day for those taking part, it sees the wider Manx community come together in support of all those taking up this big challenge. The event's race director is Ray Cox. I've been catching up with him ahead of this year's event. Ray, thanks very much for joining us. Now, of course, you speaking to us here on Manx Radio can only mean one thing. The Parish Walk is upon us, the 2025 edition. So, first off, quite generally, how is popularity looking, maybe compared to previous years for 2025?
Entries up on last year, just under 1,300 now, which is a nice number for us. It makes the race quite big and exciting, colourful. Financially, it stands on its own 2 feet, and no logistical challenges with that number of participants.
And when you compare that, I know we have done this a couple of times, when you compare it to, say, like the post-COVID year, where there's around 1,900 people, the sort of record entries, you've always kind of put it in the last couple of years is that numbers have plateaued, and it's quite a good number to have.
Yeah, I think the Parish Walk is still a very popular event. People aspire to do it, and we always seem to attract around the 1,300 entries. And that's a really good number for us. It really works, and it still shows that the Parish Walk is still an attractive challenge for people.
And the fact as well, we talk about this every single year, but the Parish Walk brings together people from all different, you know, walks of life, if you'll pardon the pun, but people do it for so many different reasons, don't they? Is that why it's so embedded in the community?
Well, I think there are a number of aspects. I think, yes, the charity side, having that aspiration to raise money, maybe for a personal thing, a lot of personal connections with the different charities, and we find that people walk in memory of people because somebody has such and such a condition. And we're very, very keen to support all charities, and we have a very strong charity giving platform. And then that's one side of it. And then the other side of it is people like to do things with a lot of other people all at the same time. And when you're down at the start on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock at the NSC, they're going to be like, maybe 1,100 people all standing there, all excited, the adrenaline's flowing, God willing, the sun will be shining. And it's a really fabulous atmosphere. And I think that really attracts people.
Now, I ask you this every single year, but I'm going to ask you again. And this is for those, there are so many people who know what the Parish Walk is about, directly or indirectly. But if you had to explain the Parish Walk to someone for the first time, what are the big highs? What are the big challenges? What would you say to them?
Well, the Parish Walk is an 85-mile challenge. Can you do it all 17 parish churches in less than 24 hours? And it's just walking, and everybody can walk. So that's the fundamental challenge. And that within that, then, people pick what they can do. They pick their own goals. Can I get to Rushen? Shall I go to Peel? 32.5 miles. Very good achievement if you can do that. Then, of course, Balaff has become the most popular destination because that's about halfway. And we find that upwards of 450 people will aspire to get to Balaff. After Balaff, it's the business end of the Parish Walk. The tough sections come into play, particularly the Jerby to Bride section. It's long, the roads are quite narrow, the hedges are very high, and it's very disorientating. And lots of times walkers think they're just about to get to Bride Church, but yet still another couple of miles away. Mentally, I've seen people crack frequently on that section. Also, it's getting maybe towards dusk, it's maybe getting towards night for the slower walkers. So, of course, that builds in another aspect. So the mental challenge is beginning to build up along with the physical challenge. And then, of course, get to Bride, 30 miles to go, you know, it's sort of a still a big challenge, but, you know, you're getting there. So it's wonderful to see people progress through the bad patches, perhaps. Maybe the support crews have to get in there and do a bit of psychology giving them motivation and whatever. And then the next thing, they're up and walking again. And it's great to see that.
And how much testament is it, do you think, to everyone, no matter what their goals on the Parish Walk, to what they do? Because you talk about the mental side of it, a big physical distance to cover as well. But like you say, you may have your doubts throughout the journey. You might hit certain points. We know the Slock's quite infamous on the way into Peel as well. As one of them, you've already mentioned the run from between Bride and Jerby as well. What does it say about the mindset of people who take part in it?
Well, I'll tell you what, every single finisher, and they come in all shapes and sizes, some with absolutely no athletic background never played football or had a big sporting, you know, in their childhood and early 20s, but yet they can walk and, you know, they get really good at the parish walk. So we see all different shapes and sizes, all different abilities. But one common trait, all incredibly determined people. You could maybe say bloody-minded, stubborn, and they just will not give up. And I think that's the most common thing we see at the finish. Just the strength of character of all the finishers.
When we're talking about, we talk about there has to be sometimes a mental battle going on. But on the positive side of it, whichever checkpoint or whatever objectives people have set, how good is it to see the look on their faces, the relief and joy in some cases when they do achieve that?
Yeah, and I think everybody has their individual goal. As I said, it could be for the intermediary churches, halfway, whatever. And I think to achieve something like that gives you incredible self satisfaction. And you see that then with their friends and families and supporters all taking part and taking the joy out of it. The parish walk on the day, particularly when the sun shines, the island looks fantastic. The people all come out. The atmosphere is quite unique. Real air of let's do it, support, goodwill. And there's no doubt about it. On Parish Walk Day, I think the Isle of Man shows itself in its absolute best light. And when we get a visitor coming and they experience that, they really do feel it's a unique thing and then come back for many years.
And that brings you on nicely to my next point. Again, coming back to the community side of things, we see people out all day supporting people they know or may not know throughout the course of the Parish Walk event. And people put out their own feed stations and things like that as well. You know, how much does that symbolise, like the phrase you use there, how much does it symbolise the Isle of Man in its best light?
Oh, yeah. We've got 34 official feed stations, but there's as many again, all dotted around, particularly in the north of the island when it gets very lonely, dark and whatever. People come out and they put up a little table at the end of their gateway and they have little signs up saying, help yourself. And they have sweets and fruit and whatnot. And certainly the year I did it, I got offered cups of tea in the middle of the night. So it is quite extraordinary and people really buy into it. And, you know, we have, of course, the Mackled Barbecue. They take a really good whole community, come out and have a real vibrant night out on Parish Walk evening. And I always look forward to it. That's my dinner.
Let's look at the competitive side then. Now, in the case of both the men's and women's races, we have two back-to-back champions who'll no doubt be trying to make it a perfect three, if you like. Dean Morgan in the men's race and Lorna Gleave in the women's race. You know, how strong do you think both of them will be this year?
Well, they're certainly setting their stalls out. In the men's race, though, Callum Gaughan certainly making noises in the right direction is what I'd say. And he's been walking very well in other events. Simon Gaughan maybe as well in the mix. So we do have Paul Atherton, old hand at the job. So if anybody's not up to the mark, he won't make it an easy race. So on the men's side, I would say it's very much up in the air. On the ladies' side, Lorna is out again. But so is Samantha Bawden. And I had a little chat with Samantha earlier in the spring, just asking her how things were. And you always know an athlete who's determined because they give nothing away. And I felt that she might be making a real effort. So I know they trained together, both Lauren and Samantha. So what happens on the day? Well, interesting race developing there, I'd say.
And we've already mentioned a few names there that you would maybe expect to be out front. But one of the things of the Parish Walk, as you've pointed out as well, there are people who can take part who don't necessarily have an athletics background that can really impress during it as well. So sometimes there's a bit of an unknown factor. Who knows, in the men's and women's races, we may see a completely different name emerge.
Yeah, I think to win, it would be unlikely. Because really, the winners are exceptional. And they've really put the graft in. They have walked. They're experienced. You know, they know what it takes to win. So I'm not really expecting a winner that will come out of, let's say, the woods, as it were. But definitely, it's always interesting to see who wins the Millennium Shield. And that's the best first-time finisher. So in other words, if the members of the public look out for the high numbers, those numbers are first-time finishers, because everybody who's finished the Parish Walk before is seeded. So 1 to 230 odd is a previous finisher. So they're excluded from that category of that award of the Millennium Shield. So it's always interesting to see who will win the Millennium Shield, because that'll be a best first time finisher.
We've talked about the competitors, we've talked about the community, but of course at the heart of this are the likes of yourselves and all the organisers as well, the ones that put it all together and make it happen. From an organising perspective, how has it been this year?
Yeah, great. Very good. We had a big change with check-in. Registration was actually in the sports hall down at the NSC. And I think a big up to them. The management down at the NSC could not have been more facilitating. And testimony to the staff, you know, because we come in and there's a lot of stuff, a lot of infrastructure. They were just brilliant with all our requests and whatever. So big thank you to the NSC and the staff. Registration, I think, will probably remain there for the future. So that was the first thing that we've done, and it's got off the ground. The rest of the race day, tomorrow morning, as I say, 8 o'clock is going to be the start. But everything's in place. Got lots and lots of different agents. We've managed to fill our volunteer roster. Earlier in the week, it was looking a bit dodgy, but Winston Liu, who's my chief marshal, said to me yesterday, he said, we've got everybody in. And it is great to see just how many people volunteer their time. And of course, without them, it wouldn't be possible to have the parish walk.
Again, that brings me nicely onto my next question, in terms of, you know, people are giving up their own time, not just for the day itself, but throughout the year as well, to help out. How much respect do you have for those who are around you that are, like I said, giving up their own time and effort to make sure this can happen?
Well, we have a massive roster of volunteers, whatever. Well over 200 people are involved in the day, but we have a core committee, and there are 12 of us, and they work solidly all through the year. Our first meeting for 2026 Parish Walk is going to be in July. So we start in July, and then we put it to bed for the summer, and then in September we start with the monthly meetings, getting everything organised, and it brings us to this point. But without really good volunteers, it would not be possible. The committee particularly, they've been together now for virtually 30 years, some of us more than 30 years, still doing the job, and they do it willingly, and they do it without any pay.
After everything that we've said, for anyone who's listening and maybe considering just, I suppose, taking in the parish walk, particularly if you're a spectator or supporting someone in particular, what would you say to someone to convince them in a couple of sentences why it's great to watch and embrace the parish walk?
Well, first off, everybody can walk, so you can participate. No skills involved. And I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, it's just such a wonderful day. And to be part of something that's bigger than yourself is always, affirming. And I think that coming out and watching the parish walk, being part of a tremendous atmosphere, well, you can't beat it.
And just finally as well, just as part of the formalities, if you like, because there are rules that have to be followed with the parish walk. So there are just a couple of messages the organisers would like to get out there as well, to make sure that for competitors and spectators, everyone can enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to remind people that the Manx Telecom Parish Walk starts at 8 a.m. down at the NSC. So get in there early, ready for the start. We just also want to make the point that there are no single-use plastics, really. We don't want to see any disposable bottles around the course. We have speed cups, which will be given out to every competitor as they enter the NSC onto the start line. So they are reusable, they're compressible, carry them with you, and get a drink at the some 34 feed stations. Reusable bottles that you carry can be filled at those as well, so no problem there. So ask, no single-use plastics. The other thing we have, of course, we have a shuttle bus service, courtesy of IFGL, running from the Bowl car park to Derby Road in Peel, the check-in point at Peel. So the buses will be running 3:30 till 6:30 over and back between Douglas and Peel. So you don't actually need to take your car. We have a bag drop service, which is running in conjunction with that. So you can leave your bag at the Manx Harriers Clubhouse on Saturday morning. That bag will be taken to the Philip Christian Centre at Peel, so you can have your kit ready to pick up and take the bus home. Let's think about our carbon footprint. Let's think about reducing unnecessary car journeys. If you are supporting and driving, I do want to draw everybody's attention to the extensive traffic management we have, the no stopping zones, one-way systems, closed road systems. They're all available on parishwalk.com. So please be familiar with the roads. For those of you who are supporting walkers, if you stop in a no-stopping zone, penalties will be applied to your walker. So a 15-minute time penalty may well be applied to your walker if you stop in a no-stopping zone. And particularly the Iarra Cuislin to Patrick, always a problematical area. And this isn't a rule that we have just thought up for no good reason. It's actually being enforced by the emergency services because they're concerned that with the congestion on the road along the west side of the island, emergency vehicles will not be able to get to the Glenmay, Dalby villages, etc. So let's pay attention to the time, to the no stopping zones and avoid time penalties. And then the last bit of very important advice that I would have for the walkers, I would just be very, very careful about using non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Ibuprofen, naproxen, paracetamol to a point. We want to be very careful that you don't overuse these because in a dehydrated state, and you may well be if the weather is warm and parish walk day, non-steroidals can cause severe kidney problems. And it has happened in the past. So be careful with the old non-steroidals. It will be a sunny day, so get plenty of sun cream on, perhaps wear a hat. And last bit of advice is have a great day.
Thank you for having the stamina to make it to the end of the Manx Radio Sportscast. You're clearly someone who has their eye on the ball at all times. Want to hear more about the latest sporting news across the Isle of Man and much more? Then might I recommend you take the plunge and subscribe to this series or a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider so that, in a flash, all of our finest moments take a winner's place on your smartphone. Thank you.